Well, it is good to have you with us here at Valorous Church, the last official summer holiday weekend here in North Myrtle Beach. Come on. Yeah. Got some vacationers with us today, headed back home after this holiday weekend, and we hope that you've enjoyed your stay here, and thank you for making us a part of your journey, and we hope what you hear today will inspire you, motivate you, and encourage you in an awesome way to go back and be exactly who God has designed you to be. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about our heart, because our heart is really important in moving forward with what God has for us to move forward with in life. You know, I do believe that great teams can be built out of people with incredible talent, amazing heart, and a clear vision for where they want to go. That's what it takes to make a great team. Talent, also heart, and then a vision to basically win. You know, kind of like the Georgia Bulldogs yesterday. You know what I'm talking about? I just thought I'd work that in my message today because it's really important for everybody to know that the Georgia Bulldogs exist and they won yesterday 49-3. Come on, somebody. And they are actually a bunch of talented players, but they have a vision to win. And they have the right heart in order to play the game with. And actually, God has called you and I to be a part of his family. Or let's say a part of his team. And he wants to call you out of darkness into the wonderful light so you'd be a part of basically sharing him in the world that we live in today. But in order to do that, our heart really matters. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 7, that God gives those who are believers in Jesus Christ a special gift. A special gift so that we can help each other. Each one of us is given a special spiritual gift so that we can help each other. But the question is, help each other do what? Just help each other, you know, do life or help each other accomplish something with our life? And so I do believe the Bible leans in to us accomplishing great things and being part of God's family, and God talents or gifts each one of us special to do amazing things. And I don't think it's the talent that we are lacking a lot of times in accomplishing great things. I think it's the heart we are mixing with that talent that causes us to shrink back and not do the incredible things that God designs for us to do. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, guard your heart above all else, above everything else, guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. Now, how many of you know that that is wisdom? That is wisdom being spoken from God's word about how to be successful in life. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now, I don't know if we have any wannabe athletes in here. Anybody a wannabe athlete like I was? Come on. Yeah. Some of you are probably great athletes, but I wanted to be a great athlete. And I really wasn't that athletic. A lot of times people get up close to me, they're like, you're really tall. And so you must have played basketball. You must have been incredible. I'm like, no, I couldn't jump 6 inches off the ground. Come on. Not that coordinated and not that awesome. But I did play collegiate football, but it wasn't because of my great talent or my athletic ability. It was simply I had something called a want to. Everybody say want to. That's the heart to play the game. In other words, I wanted something, and I wasn't the most talented person, but my heart wanted to play, and my heart wanted to win, and my heart wanted to accomplish. It's been said that about 80% of what you do is determined by your heart, and about 20% of what you do is determined by your talent. But most people feel like their talent is what carries them into the future, where it's important to have a talent, and God gives you a special gift if you're a part of his family. A talent is what the Bible says. But it is the heart you carry that talent with that allows you to do something incredible with your life. And again, the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's talking to them about their special gifts. And they all were kind of clinging to these special gifts because people like special talents or special gifts. And every talent that God gives his team or his family is important. They're equally as important. And it's not about the gift God gives you because God chooses which gift to give, which individual or which person. And it's not about the gift God gives you, but it's about the heart you use that gift with. And what oftentimes happens is when God gives us certain gifts, it's really easy to forget what the gift is for. And it's really easy to become puffed up with the gift. And if that begins to happen, what happens is instead of running and doing great things with your life, then life begins to take over you. It's not about the size of your gift. It's about the heart you have when you use your gift. And so if you're a believer in the finished work of Jesus Christ and he has brought you into God's family, you have a gift. But that gift needs the right heart in order to operate and do these amazing things. And so Paul is talking to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the special gifts. And then he moves to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and he says this about gifts, and it's really important because this is how we guard our heart. He says, if I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, he said, I would only be a noisy gong and a clangy cymbal. In other words, if I didn't have the love of God in my heart, and I had special talents and special gifts, it wouldn't make any difference in the world. Anybody know any real smart people that are kind of clangy with their gift? In other words, they can tell you a lot about their gift and reveal to you how smart they are, but they don't have any love in their heart to impart the knowledge or the thing that they have in their heart to get it in your heart so y'all can move together and do great things. And what Paul's saying, man, you can be the smartest person in the room, but if you don't learn how to guard your heart, what'll happen is that intelligence will begin to take over your life and you won't do the world any good. See, if you wanna make a difference with your life, understand that you got to learn to have the right heart with the talent God has given you. And then you can make a huge difference. He goes on to say, if I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge and I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, he said, I would be absolutely nothing. He says, if I gave everything I have to the poor and I sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I was jealous or boastful and proud or rude, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. He goes on to say, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way, and it is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It says, it does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. This is what the love of God does. Now, sometimes the love of another person doesn't do this, but the love of God rejoices when truth wins out. He goes on to say, love never gives up. It never loses faith. It is always hopeful and it endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now, our knowledge is partial and incomplete. And even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when full understanding comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, he says, when I was childish with my gift, he says, I spoke and I thought and I reasoned like a child. But when I grew up, I put away the childish things. Now, he says, we see imperfectly and as in the cloudy mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Then he finishes up this passage with this. And this is where we're gonna camp out and learn how to change our heart or guard our heart today. He says, three things will last forever. Get this in your heart. He says, these things last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And he says, the greatest of these is love. So Paul writes the church at Corinth and says, God has given you some amazing gifts. He says, incredible talents. But you gotta learn to have the right heart and guard your heart whenever God gives you this talent in order to be a part of God's team and accomplish what God wants you to accomplish in life and do the great things that God wants you to accomplish. So how do we guard our heart? And what do we need to guard it against? Well, oftentimes we try to guard it against other people, where we need to guard it against the enemy taking away the seeds of the goodness that God's placed in it. And oftentimes what we do is when someone else hurts our heart, the core of who we are, we begin to put up walls and we don't step into the fullness of who God's created us to be. And we begin to put up all of these walls instead of trusting what God says, and we don't guard our heart. Let me tell you, the enemy is after your heart. The enemy is after the core of who you are. The enemy wants to discourage you. The enemy wants you to be fearful to step in to the gift that God gives you. The enemy wants you to be angry with your gift. The enemy wants you to doubt what you can do for God's family, God's team, and God's kingdom. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy wants to hold you back. And so you got to learn to guard your heart against the enemy of your soul. And the way you guard your heart is simply laid out for us in 1 Corinthians 13. It's holding on to eternal things. Things that will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. So I wrote this down. If I'm gonna guard my heart and use my talent to its fullest potential for the sake of the team and the sake of God, then I have to learn to fertilize my faith. I have to fertilize my faith. I have to feed my faith. So how do we do that? How do we fertilize our faith? You know, you fertilize things you want to grow. In other words, I used to be in the plant business long before I became a preacher. And I know that when you put the proper fertilizer on a certain plant, it grows and it produces. Because the fertilizer is the food for the plant. But if you put the wrong fertilizer on the wrong plant, it can kill it. So the question is, what are you fertilizing your faith with? Because you can fertilize your faith with the wrong things. And if you don't get the right food into your faith, then your faith can't grow and produce anything great. And again, the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to take your faith. So how do you fertilize your faith? Well, the Bible says in Romans, chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that faith in God and faith in the God who gives you the gift to have, the talent to have, to do great things. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the good news about Jesus. So are you putting yourself in environments on a daily basis to hear the good news about Jesus? What's feeding your life? What's feeding your faith? Is it the news? I mean, is that what you listen to first thing every day? Does that feed you? I mean, do you turn on the TV and get fed the information that comes out of the TV and it's feeding you how the world's falling apart, how everything's divided, how everything's broken, and guess what? All that crap is true. However, if you feed the faith that God has given you, then with that stuff, it'll begin to kill the faith inside of you. God gave you that faith. And the only way to really feed your faith is with the word of God and the good news about who Jesus is, what he's already done, what he's doing currently, and what he will do. What are you feeding your mind with? Because if you're gonna guard your heart, you need to understand something. What gets in here, in your head, gets in your heart, and it comes out of your mouth and your hands. It comes out of your actions. And God has given you a special gift if you belong to his family. A special gift, a unique gift, a gift to do something incredible with. Not to sit on the sidelines with, but to do certain things well. And we're to help each other do what? Permeate this good news into the world. But if we're constantly feeding our faith with things that don't fertilize it and grow it and the words of God and the words of the spoken word and move into being set apart or being made holy, being like God, then what we're doing is we're feeding our minds with all kinds of other information. I invite you to do this week. Make it a choice. The first thing when you wake up, before your feet hit the floor, get your phone, lay it by the bed. Instead of checking your email first, or flipping on your phone and checking what happened through the night on Instagram. Come on, you know I'm talking to somebody up in this room today. To see what Frida did last night on Facebook, come on. Flip your phone on. And there's an app, it's the Bible app. And maybe you need to download it into your phone and flip it on. Or hey, if you don't have a phone, great. There's written words too. And we have translations of it out there. It's called the Bible. Lay that by your nightstand. And instead of putting the TV on, just I invite you this week alone, just before your feet hit the floor, open up the word and consistently begin to read what God says about you and begin to put that in your spirit and begin to see what God begins to do. Begin to feed your faith with the word of God and the good news of Jesus and see what it begins to do. But see, we don't only feed our faith or fertilize our faith by hearing the word. That's where it starts. But the Bible says, don't just be hearers of the word. It says to also be doers of what you heard. And so what is faith? The Bible says faith is the substance. Everybody say substance. That means the stuff. It's the substance of what we hope for. Faith is the substance. It means that faith has something in it that moves towards what we're hoping for. In other words, faith has action. Faith isn't just something you say with your mouth, though you can say it with your mouth, it steps towards what you're hoping for. So faith is actually the action that you're hoping for. And the Bible says, you know what? God's giving you this incredible gift, but now take your gift and attach it to the eternal faith that you have in God. Feed that faith and see what God can do. You want to guard your heart? Then feed your faith over and over and over and over and over again. Stop feeding it with the wrong stuff. Stop feeding it with the wrong stuff. The second one is this. If I'm going to guard my heart, I don't only need to feed my faith. I got to have higher hopes. See, some of you, your hopes are too low. And what I mean by that, you're putting your hope in the wrong stuff. We hope in who Jesus already proved that he is and who he says he's going to be as he returns. That's what Christ followers are hoping in. They're not just hoping in a better week, though I have a little bit of hope that this week will be better than last week. That's not what my highest hope is in. My highest hope is in that God's gonna do what he says he's gonna do. The Bible says that Abraham had hope against all hope. What does that mean? That whenever they weren't hopeful things in front of him, daily things going on that began to give him hope. In other words, tragic things crazy things were happening in his life. But against all of that kind of things that people hope for, he had hope that was higher than that hope. And it was in the promise that God said, Abraham, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you. You're going to be a blessing. And I'm going to do amazing things through you. His hope, he had hope against all hope. So what is your hope in? You see, having a higher hope can begin to take your heart to places you never dreamed your talent could go. And again, I don't just hope, you know, we have church here on the weekend. I hope that Jesus is going to take my gift and your gift and put it together and reveal who he is to the world around us. And our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is against the powers and principalities in the spiritual realm. And Jesus is our authority. And he is our hope, even in that space and place. Our hope is not in earthly things. Our hope is in things that come from above. And so the Bible says, set your mind on things above. Set your hope on things above. And then take your faith and actively take your gift and your heart and begin to work towards that hope and see what God can do. Maybe you're hopeless because you need to get your hopes higher. And the Bible says three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And some people are hopeless because their hopes are too low. If your hopes are that Jesus came to forgive the sin of the world on a cross, and anyone can respond to that good news by faith, and your hope is in that, then you begin to take your gift and use that gift in order to express it to the world. You want to guard your heart? Then fertilize your faith. Get your hopes higher. And then lastly, I wrote this down. We got to leverage love. Everybody say, leverage love. Because the Bible says three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these, he says, is love. And so what does love do? Well, love gives my heart the compassion, the very core of who I am, the compassion to keep going when it gets hard. The Bible says the reason Jesus endured the cross, the horrific cross, is because he loved us way too much to not push through that pain. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9 that when Jesus looked down from a hillside into a valley, he saw people that were helpless and like sheep without a shepherd. There was no one leading them towards God, that he had compassion on them. He had love towards them. See, the love God gives you the compassion to keep going in spite of the circumstances. Because this is why love is the greatest gift. And again, it's not just the love that you express that comes out of you. It's the love that God puts in you. And then that'll eventually come out of you because you have compassion on people because you know God first had compassion on you. And so love begins to drive your heart. In other words, when you see people that are not running towards God or taking their talents that God gave them, and they're not focused with those talents and they're not guarding their heart and they're just wasting away. You have compassion towards that and you want to create a place and you want to create an environment to say, come out of that and begin to let God heal you and restore you and do amazing things in your heart, because God, if he did it for me, he can do it for you. So we got to learn to guard our hearts. But so many people, when they're gifted by God, instead of guarding their heart, what they do is they become prideful. And pride, the Bible says, puffs up, but love builds up. And when God gives you a gift, it's easy to say, well, look at me and my gift. Instead of saying, God, thank you for that gift. I want to partner with all the other gifts, and I want us to use our gift to build Team Jesus up and fulfill your plan in this earth. I know some of you are hoping that God may do it another way. But can I tell you something? The Bible says that the way God's gonna do what he's gonna do is through the church. That's his word, that's his promise. Some people are saying, well, I wish God would come and do it this way or that way. No, 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 God's already laid it out. He says, I am going to come into my church, my people. I'm gonna give them special gifts. I'm gonna pour out my spirit on men and women alike. And I'm gonna pull my people together, giving all of them special gifts, and they're gonna have a heart to fulfill my vision in the world. And this is how I'm going to transform the world into my likeness. My friend, Jesus came so that you can make a connection to your creator and get a download of this special gift. But you gotta constantly guard your heart because the enemy wants to come in and steal what God has planted. He wants to uproot it. He wants to pull it up. He wants it to waste away. And he'll begin to get you to fertilize your faith with the wrong stuff, have hopes in too little of a thing, or not love like Jesus first loved you. Jesus says, when he is lifted up, when we let the love that God first showed us, we leverage it, we weigh in with that love, it lifts the name of Jesus up. And people are drawn to him. This is why love is the greatest gift. It's because when we love like God first loved us, then what happens is that begins to weigh in on people. And people say, this kind of love can only come from God. It can't come from another person because another person can't love like this. It is the Spirit of God loving through your gift that begins to allow that person to move forward in their life. So you wanna guard your heart? Faith, hope, and love. These three things are eternal and they last forever. Apply them to your life and let's see what God can do. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. I thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl here today. And God, I know you have a special plan for each and every one of us. And God, those of us who have put our faith, belief in Jesus as our Savior and our Lord, may we come under his authority. May we recognize that he has gifted each one of us differently, but we're to pull those gifts together and express you to the world. And God, if there is one here today that is not a part of your family, who have either walked away from your family, God, have not ever joined in with your family, God, may they understand the power of the good news today. May they understand really what Jesus did on that cross. May they understand he came to heal them of sin. God, he came to die in their place so they didn't have to. God, he came to forgive them of missing the mark of your glorious standard, us as human beings. And God, we put our faith in the love of that cross today. And Jesus, may they understand the reason you resurrected from a grave was to show that God has power over any circumstance, any sin, any situation, even death itself. And God, may that same power move into our hearts today. And may we operate by the power of the Holy Spirit. May we operate by the love of Jesus. And may we continue to have faith in him and that we are a part of his team expressing him to the earth. And God, may we move forward as a family. May we do incredible things in our community. May we see you do incredible things as we join our gifts together. God, may we have a humble heart and may we come to you and let you do the work. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.